Good morning, everybody. This is Judith Hope. You're listening to Mad Love. Let's get into it. So, you know, my mom has really injured her wrist, but because she can't remember anything, she continues to re-injure it, and it is just agonizing. It's weird to listen to someone hurt themselves over and over and over again because they can't remember that they are injured. And you know me, there's a point where I have to go existential or next level. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, this must be the physical manifestation of what it looks like when you see someone that you care about continuously make bad decisions. You know, they don't yelp out in pain but like the person who dates the same terrible person over and over again in different bodies, you know, it's got to be like that. Or the person who just can't help but make a bad choice every single time, and you watch them and you care about them, and it's like, here we go again. This must be the physical manifestation of what that must be like, you know, energetically. Because the night before, I watched her for about 30 minutes, and she just continued to do this. I gave her some pain medication, and I just watched her over and over again not be able to be still, push up on her hand, and lay back down. Or, her hand is really, really injured, and I'm guessing this is how patients who fall and break a hip or whatever, suddenly that's it. They've got a broken bone, and everything is... their demise is linked to it. You know, I've heard that more than one time. Like, my dad fell and that was it. My mom fell and that was it. So, I don't know. My mom has been falling many, many, many times this year. I was talking to my college roommate. Yes, my friend Kim from the story I told about my friend Arnell's dad. That Kim, we're still friends, and we were talking, and it's so fascinating because she thinks like this is going to be my platform, like this is the thing that's going to spring me into some sort of fame, like this is going to be my space because no one's talking about it. And she was very kind, and she was like, no one can talk about it the way you do. And it's funny because, you know, without talking about it, we both were thinking the same thing. And I've said this on the podcast, and she doesn't listen to the podcast. So she's had this thought independently, which is everybody thinks when people die, it's this, or especially with Alzheimer's, they think that these people, just because they've been in the movies, they've been staring off into the distance, or some sort of comatose state, that that's the way it is. But it's not. It's not like that. And it's different for every family, but I have yet to come across anybody who got diagnosed and their loved one says, yep, and then they just went comatose. There is a lot that happens before a person becomes what you've seen in the movies, so the old person just staring off into the distance. It takes a lot before they get to that. And a lot of times people are fighting for their lives. Like, this is what that is. She is fighting. That is what she knows. And she wants to get back to being who she knows herself to be, whether she's doing that consciously or not. Like, she's on remote control, my mom. You know, she wants to be who she's always been. And I don't know if she's just not spiritually evolved enough or spiritually mature enough. I don't know what it is, but there is a part of her that is like, I'm just going to keep fighting because that's what I know. And there are a lot of people at this point who would spiritually be like, dude, this is not a life. I'm done. I remember when my uncle had lost half a foot and below the knee of one leg to diabetes, And he was really trying to learn how to walk on the prosthetic leg. He really looked forward to the future of, you know, I'm going to dance with my wife again. I'm going to learn how to use this thing. And when they were like, after about a year or two, when they were like, yeah, we need to come for the other leg, you could just see he gave up. And I don't think he quit on life, but he stopped fighting. It was like, what am I fighting for? This is not a life. And, you know, that's her younger brother. And they were very, very close. And I just feel like he had an emotional sensitivity and awareness that my mom doesn't have. And I don't know her story. I know the things she's told us over the years. But I mean, I would be really curious to hear someone else's version of events, because she just seems scarred in some way. And there are often times where she's frustrated and she's like, we're just so dumb and poor. And I'm like, dumb and poor? Neither one of us are dumb or poor. But I think, you know, in her childhood, someone told her she was dumb. And she just really took that to heart. Like, she really, I've heard her refer to herself as dumb many times. And then I've also heard her be really hard on herself, like, oh, that was dumb. I don't know why I did that. That was dumb. And, like, I don't talk to myself like that. Because I'm not dumb. And, yes, I do dumb things like other people, but I would never call it that. I just made a mistake. You know? It's just fascinating. It's fascinating. So, you know, Kim and I, we're just breaking things down and, you know, it was a good conversation. She was very, very supportive. Because this is hard. You know, this is really, really hard. And her mother passed away about 15 years ago. And she went much, much quicker. Cancer. She got diagnosed. And I think by the time she had been diagnosed, she had been sick a while. And it was just, you know, it just went really fast. But this is, it's really slow. So part of what I'm expressing is for people to understand, if your loved one gets a dementia or Alzheimer's diagnosis, there is a chance that this could just go on for 10 or 15 years. And it's not staring out the window. And it's often not sweet. The person isn't just laying there smiling at you all the time. The person's aggressive and mean, and they hit and they bite and they kick. And like I was telling somebody the other day and saying on this podcast, I think yesterday, people don't think about it, but if your loved one is all of those things, super bitey and violent, these places won't keep them. They kick them out. Then what are you gonna do? So it's like, I'm appalled that I've been going through this for 4-5 years, and essentially there's just very little that's been done to help people. You're going to have to figure all this out. You know, your doctor, they may or may not be very good, and they aren't going to be doing things that are innovative. They're just going to be writing you prescriptions. So you have to figure out for yourself what you, your loved ones, your spouses, partners, parents, whoever's kids, your kids, some people have sick children. You have to make these decisions and science this shit on your own. And it sounds crazy because we're sending billions and billions of dollars across the ocean to other countries, it looks like, on a daily basis. But there are no public health hospitals. There's no mental health hospitals. There's no places that are good, high quality, that you can just go park your loved one and know that they're going to be okay. And there should be. That's what a government exists for. Otherwise, what have we been giving our money to? You know? And I'm not anti-government. I'm just not understanding. So I remember being pro-government during COVID. That's what a government exists for. To get these vaccines together, to calm people's fears, to do the science. And then, of course, we get to, 4 years past it, and you realize it was sort of a scam. Like, we don't know what they were injecting in us, you know? And some of it worked and some of it didn't work, and it wasn't a vaccine. They kept calling it a vaccine. But Big Pharma hasn't been studying anything and doing any research and development. There was no way they were ready to make a vaccine that fast, because they've just been raking in the profits, because that's the American way. And I am a capitalist. I just don't understand how you can make money at the expense of your people, at the expense of their health and well-being. If you don't have any healthy or well-being people, you won't have anybody to take advantage of to buy your products. And it's like the greed button has driven people insane. And now you got all these greedy people who are super rich, but your population is dying. It's like the drug dealer who gives out fentanyl and everything. Yeah, you made all the money, but you ain't got no more customers. It's dumb. It's just weird, and I did not plan on talking about it this much. How about, apparently Arthur Blank did not want to draft Michael Penix, and his GM did. After paying Kirk Cousins all that money, guaranteed $200 million, something crazy, and they draft a quarterback. And someone found some video of Arthur Blank with the GM, with the general manager, like, dude, what are you doing? And the body language is like that. You can't hear anything, but you could just see he's like, that is not what we discussed. So you're going to have a rookie just sitting there behind Kirk Cousins, which I don't think is a bad idea, but get that person in the second round. Don't get him in the first round. You know, and you wonder, it's Atlanta. And we've all seen Atlanta look like they should be good, and then they just crap the bed. That's just the way they are. That's what they do. It would be hard to be a Falcons fan. So that was something interesting. I also see that Gerard, I cannot watch any more of the Gerard Carmichael reality show. Somebody posted some snippets where he just berates and belittles his dad, which I thought he already covered on his show that I do like, which was the Carmichael show on NBC. His dad apparently in real life fathered a child outside of his marriage. And I think they never said anything. And then Gerard, in real life, Gerard like went to high school with the guy. He was in the same class as his sibling, and he didn't know. And it was covered kind of awkwardly on the show. You could tell it really bothered him, but it's a sitcom, so it was funny. And Loretta Devine was great, and David Alan Greer was great. It's a funny show. Watch his NBC show. But the snippet of him berating his father in real life, it's like, dude, how much therapy do you need? It is not working. Why are you bringing all these people on your quote unquote reality show to humiliate and embarrass them? You're not the first person in the world whose father stepped out on their mother. Like, get over it. I don't understand what he's doing, and I used to be a fan of his brand of comedy, but this reality show is the most disgusting thing I have ever seen. To put real life people in these awkward ass, bizarre ass positions to confront real things on TV for your entertainment is fucking crazy. And I could be honest, if I had an issue with him and he brought me on that fucking show, I don't care if he's my brother, my father, whoever he was to me, that is it. Don't lose my number. You call me again, I'm gonna deal with you, and then you're gonna lose my number for real. But you're gonna hear what I have to say. Now I'm gonna give you a pass. You done brought me on this bullshit ass show. Okay. I'm gonna give you a pass. I'm gonna let you, you know, get a piece of my mind, and then you're gonna lose my number. But if you keep fucking with me, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, and you won't like it. Because that's one thing I can do, is I can go scorched earth. You know, I hold back a lot. And I'm right. I don't just be saying shit. I will demolish you. Because this is fucking ridiculous. Now, you is disrespectful as hell. You done brought your old ass father and he just sits there and takes it. Because guess what? That's what people do on TV. What the hell is he supposed to do? And he's an old man. You know, and it's like, yeah, you're mad at him because he didn't want to talk to you about him fucking around on his wife. You know? And you're embarrassed. And this kid was in your class. I mean, the snippet I watched was horrible. And I was like, how is this a TV show? This can't be the best of what we have to offer. Who said yes to this? And what kind of narcissistic asshole do you have to be to bring your old ass father on TV and berate him? Now, this Tyler, the Creator situation was bizarre as well. The first episode where he confesses he had a crush on his best friend, it was weird and cringy. And Tyler was like, whatever, I'm not, you know, you brought me on TV, this is stupid, I'm gonna eat and then I'm gonna leave because this is dumb. You know, he's just on a whole nother level. But to bring your old ass father and berate him and embarrass him, man, fuck off. Listen, I used to like him. Y'all know I watched Rothaniel and I gave on this podcast a glowing review to Gerard and his journey. And even though it wasn't a particularly funny show, I could feel his pain. I didn't know that that's where he was going to live. Like, that's now his cringe, humiliation kink is where he lives now. And now you all out and now we all know you have all this gay sex with random white boys. I don't know why we all needed to know that. Like, whatever happened to being ashamed of some things? And I'm not saying you should be ashamed of who you are. Be who you are. But what about being ashamed that you're sucking people's toes on TV and you look like a whore, kind of? Because he has tons of sex with randos off of his app. Now, there used to be, and maybe ashamed isn't the right phrase, but, oh, shame about your shit. People used to be, like, discreet because it would be embarrassing to have the world know certain things about you. And not only that, it's just classier. Like, it's okay to have a private life. Keep it private. That's why it's called a private life. Everybody doesn't need to know all of your business, especially when it's messy. Like, this is just messy, messy, messy. You know, you're up here blowing up your dad. You're blowing up your friends. The one episode where he got all offended. Apparently, he was offended that people didn't love his slave joke. But it never felt like he was doing so much joking. It's like, you said you like to do race play. That is disturbing. Is that supposed to be funny? Do we have to pick and choose what parts we think are funny and what you think we should be responding to in your weird ass fucked up show? I don't know. I used to like this dude a lot. I still highly recommend The Carmichael Show on NBC. But anything else, I probably will not be tuning in. I have reached my limit. This is quite narcissistic and horrifying. And I get that his dad did something that he shouldn't have done. But that is his dad and his mama's business. Period. I'm sure it affected you in some way. But it couldn't have affected you more than it affected your mom. Get the fuck off my TV with this. This is disrespectful and horrible. I felt embarrassed for his dad. And I only saw a snippet. I'm like, this show, I'm done. I am not going to tune in. I don't want to see it. I tried to get into it. I tried to catch a vibe with the show. But I just feel like this is some sort of weird social experiment that I hope never gets replicated. Nobody else needs to do this. Go to therapy, get the therapy, and move on. Because if this is your new comedy routine, which isn't funny, this sort of gotcha cringe TV, if this is your thing, then you really need to ask for your money back. Because your therapy sessions are not working. And that's just the way I feel about it. And he is a sensitive person, and I know if he was actually a friend of mine, he would be super, super butthurt. But you know what? I don't care. You got to draw the line in life. a good life is defined by good boundaries. And, you know, you're not going to violate me on TV. You know me, I would just go off. Oh, you done brought me here on this TV show so you could talk shit to me, motherfucker. I'm in my 50s now. I used to feel bad about confronting people, but now I'll be like, oh, I can tee off? Here we go. Hold my beer. I'm about to light this fool up. Like, don't bring me on no TV show to talk shit. You know what I mean? And you done browbeating this man, because you know what? You can tell his father's soft-spoken. And because I'm and old. Because I can tell you there are some parents who be like, you done brought me on TV to talk about this shit? I'm about to break my whole foot off in your ass. And you deserve it. Because no matter what, I am still your father. And when you disrespect me and my name, you disrespect yourself. And so I need to show you the way back to the light. Because he wouldn't get no quiet, head held down. Fucking bully. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That is family business. Keep it in the family. And that's just the way I feel about it. This other thing with Amanda Seals. So Amanda Seals was on Club Shay Shay. Yes, everybody. Shannon Sharp is not a professional journalist. He does not ask professional journalistic questions. And he's giving his opinion. And he has the right to disagree with his guests' opinions. It's his podcast. It's not 60 Minutes. So I need people to understand that and get over that. Amanda told some story about some white kids picking on her. And Shannon was like, he really just didn't see the problem. And she was like, so you think it's just kids being mean and picking on people? Yeah, that's just how kids are. You said it. And like, maybe he didn't read the situation correctly. I don't know. But it's his show. You came on his show. This is his opinion. And whether you like his opinion or not, he's entitled to give it. So then she keeps talking. And every story, I don't doubt that she's a very intelligent and fiercely in-your-face, educated person. She obviously is that. In all her stories, everybody got beef with her. And I don't know if she's just unlikable. I don't know. I've never met her. I don't know anything about her. I can't say that I've been a big fan. I don't know. This is the most I've ever seen of Amanda Seals. Then, you know, she's on Insecure. It turns out like Issa and everybody in Issa's camp is not a fan of Amanda's. And she just sort of throws Issa Rae's name under the bus. Like, you know, I'm not protecting her anymore. The show's over. You know, basically, Issa's a bitch. I'm paraphrasing, but she did say some version of things that sounded like that's what she wanted to say. And again, I've only seen snippets. I'm not a big enough fan of hers to watch the whole podcast. So I'm like, I don't know. I could be reading it wrong, but maybe people just don't like you. I have had friends, and people like smart, intelligent women always get the short end of the stick. People are always intimidated by smart, intelligent black women. Yeah, I have known smart and intelligent black women that are highly, highly unlikable. There are people out here who abuse you with their intellect. And if you don't agree with them, then they become even more unlikable. Some people just aren't likable. And I'm getting the impression she might be one of those people. I don't know her. But I'm just saying, all her stories end with, and then they kicked me out because they said they didn't want to party with me. Or they said, I don't like you. You can't come in. And it's like, okay. And then she does something that I cannot stand. So in one of her stories, because I've seen probably, I don't know how long the interview is, but I've seen several snippets from it on TikTok. And she does something that I can't stand in an argument. When she's not winning, she goes historical. So I can't remember the exact story, but she was talking to somebody and they were maybe saying, hey, maybe you shouldn't come in so hot. Maybe you shouldn't always be trying to be an activist or something to that extent. And then she goes historical. Well, what about Barbara Chisholm? You know what I mean? That's not at all what she said, but it was like that. So it was like somebody was saying, well, maybe you shouldn't be such an activist. What about Bobby Seals? What about the, I hate when people go historical, you know, because if I'm talking to you and I have an issue with you and you then bring up Martin Luther King, well, I don't know Martin Luther King, but I know you and I want you to stop doing X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean? Like, I can't stand when people do that. When they go historical, that really drives me crazy. Because it's like, I ain't talking about that. And this ain't that. You know? I remember one time I was in the car with one of my friends after we had gone to IKEA. And the lady who was checking us out was just terrible. She was trash. She happened to be white, but she was just bad at this job. And, I had brought the display down instead of, because, you know, IKEA's all weird. So I had grabbed the display instead of the box. I was supposed to go under the display and get in it. But I'm walking through this whole store, and it's fucking massive. IKEA's ridiculously big. So I get to the thing, and she's like, oh, that's the display. You can't buy that. I said, oh, okay. And I just was about to leave it because I was not about to fucking try to walk way. We had walked miles. I was like, fuck that. So my friend Kim, this is another Kim, Kim Wiley, she gets mad. She's all like, this is the worst service. So you're not going to go. She was like, she should be sending somebody back. Da, da, da. And so Kim bought her purchase. And then I just left. I was like, cool, I'll order it online. And so she was like, you're just going to walk out? You're going to let that lady mistreat you? Da, da, da. And I was like, that lady is just terrible at her job. She's not a racist. She's just somebody who clearly needs a little money on the weekends and wants the discount. She's going to be bad. It was like an Asian person behind us, white people behind us, some more black people. I was like, she's going to be terrible to all of them because she's just incompetent. She's not racist. So then she stayed hot. Kim Wiley was mad at me like, I can't believe you just letting this go. We were riding through, I remember we were in Forest Park, and because that's a good almost 10 minutes from the store, and we were riding. She was like, I just can't believe you gonna let, like, because we've known each other since second grade, so she knows I can be fiery and feisty. She was like, you just gonna let that lady? And I was like, Kim, the lady's just incompetent. And then she goes, what would King do? What would Malcolm X? I was like, Kim, this is not that. That lady's just bad at her job. Yes, she's white, but that I did not feel racial energy from her. She was not racist. She was just terrible at her job. And sometimes you, quote unquote, the victim, have to just be, you have to read the situation. And there was nothing about her that was like, you know, she just was unprofessional. She didn't offer it, not because she was racist. She didn't offer it because she wasn't smart enough to offer it. She was not good at this job. And so that's what I mean. Like, it didn't piss me off like when other people do it. But that is an example of when I was like, but this isn't that. Don't go historical on me. I don't like it when people go historical. That's obviously not. That story wasn't a real example of what I mean. But I have been talking to people and they go really historical. And it's like, dude, I don't know them. I know you and I got a beef with you. Well, actually, it was kind of like that. Kim was mad at me. And I was like, Kim, I'm not trying to pass up a great moment in racial history to do the right thing. But that lady's not racist. She's just really, really terrible at her job. And I think that was a pivotal moment in our friendship because Kim and I don't fight. And I think she's pulled back a little bit and she was like, you might be right. I was like, yeah, I'm not. I mean, we've known each other a long time. You know, I want to get it right. I'm not going to, if something was racial and wrong, I would make sure IKEA knew about it. But that lady was just bad. You could just tell she was going to be terrible to everybody. Not because. Sorry, got a phone call, but I probably should be wrapping it up anyway. But yeah, I mean, that was an example. And I just think Amanda Seales does that. And I don't like that. I get that you're smart. I get that you're passionate. And maybe you're too smart and too passionate to be in Hollywood. It's really not all of that. Like, people aren't. That business is designed off of relationships. You get as far as you get by making friends with people, building relationships, building partnerships. And if you're incapable of doing that, it might be the wrong business for you. You know, she very much could be a professor at Howard. She could be a professor at any school and bring a lot of passion and attention and transform students' lives. And maybe that's what she should be doing. Because I'm telling you, when you turn off people in Hollywood to the degree that she is, maybe the entertainment industry really isn't for you. And I'm not trying to talk down about her or anything of that nature. She seems very passionate and very bright. But I do know people who are passionate and bright, who bully people with their intellect and are unlikable. And there are unlikable people in the world. Everybody's not everybody's cup of tea. And, you know, one thing you don't hear a lot about is people on an all-black show hating each other's guts. So it's like, and it's like thing after thing with her. And I don't even really know her story that well, but it's like, why does Amanda Seales keep popping up in my, you know, maybe she lacks self-awareness. I don't know. Or maybe she's right and everybody else is wrong. I don't know. But it feels like maybe it's time to explore other avenues. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like she's just complaining about black people not liking her. And she's one of those people who's like, I've dedicated my life to black people. Okay. I don't know how to help you. You just need to calm down. You're not going to make it to your 50s being like this. You're going to have yourself a little stroke or a heart attack. You got to calm down, Amanda Seales. You got to calm down. And again, I'm not professing to understand the situation totally. I do understand that Shannon is not going to be. I don't think anybody who is a feminist or an activist would find an audience and comfort in Shannon Sharp. And I could be reading that wrong, but I don't think people think, you know, Shannon's the new Oprah. And we don't need a new Oprah. You know, it's his show. He gets to have his own opinion on his own show. And I think people need to understand that and back up off of him for that. But in the same breath, if you don't feel like he's going to receive your message the way you want, then don't go on his show. You could tell at some point she was just looking at him like, oh, okay. Oh, you just don't get what I'm saying. Like, come on. Come on, come on. Don't go on his show. He is a country football player. Period. That's it. He's accomplished a lot. And I watched Shannon play football. He was a very good tight end. Very good for every team he played for. He was a good teammate. Never heard anything crazy or terrible about Shannon Sharp. But trying to pretend like you can just go on his platform and, you know, find comfort and counsel. Come on. That's on you. For real. All right, everybody. It is Friday, April 26th. Thank God Mercury retrograde is over. It's time to get it in. Let's get some good work in. We got, what, 3 or 4 more days? Golly, 4 more days in this month. We are rolling. Wish us luck. I'm trying to get my mom in respite care for next week. I really need that. All right, everybody. Take care of yourselves. Be well. Be blessed. Have an amazing weekend. Fall in love with your life.